Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey! Happy New Year, everybody! Welcome to the craziest Curb Your Enthusiasm After Show ever. I'm Christian Blatt, joined as always by our Chief Beanmeister, Flubba Boys.
How's it going, everybody? Christian, are you broadcasting live from China? What's going on over there?
Gung Hai Fat Choi, a little Chinese New Year back there. Now, of course, obviously, when we put that up, we didn't realize what gift the Chinese were giving us for the New Year, so maybe we should take it down. Now, not only is that, but we also have, of course, BMW dealer James Maple.
Hey, holla, holla, holla.
I'm just here for the licorice. And, yeah, of course... Unfortunately, our sweaty waitress, Rachel Goodman.
Yeah. I mean, I feel a connection to Abby Jacobson, definitely, considering she went to my middle school and my high school.
Now, was it at the same time as you? Or
No. She graduated. I went to Conestoga High School. Yeah. So PSA. She graduated in 2002. I was 2006. So no, we did not know each other. But it's
I was going to ask if she was sweaty in real life, but I guess we'll have to find out through other means. Well, let's dive right into it. And if you're watching live in the chat, we are able to bring you in just like we always would, even though it's this crazy mixed up patchwork kind of a show. I want to start off with the way that the episode started with the Latte Larry commercial, with the self-heating coffee. Most important, though, no defecation. Have a hot cup of spite with me. Flobo, what did you think of the Latte Larry commercial?
That was the biggest curb correction corner I've ever seen in my life. everything I wouldn't say would be wrong or wouldn't work came together. And actually, I, at the end of it, I really wanted to visit. So I guess congrats.
Yeah. James, how impressed were you with the way that Latte Larry's came off?
You know, I was genuinely shocked at how well he was able to put things together. Did you all happen to notice too? There was a lot of like sanitation references in the commercial in the first scene of that as well. I felt like there was Purell everywhere. Everything seemed to be nice and clean. Yeah. I don't know if that corresponded with anything that's going on in real life now, but it was a strange coincidence that there was Purell, you know, strategically placed everywhere in the infomercial and on the first scene after that.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point because when I was watching it, I was like, oh yeah, I remember when we used to be able to eat in restaurants. Look at how much fun.
Oh, Lord.
There's more than 10 people in that room. Oh my God, a simpler time. Rachel, did you ever believe that Latte Larry's, the spite store, the place that serves a hot cup of spite, did you think it was ever going to open?
I never thought it was going to open, never thought it was going to do well. But what I did find interesting is that, you know, as a comedy, we always have to see the POV person failing. And so for a moment, we got Mocha Joe's POV and we got to see that he was failing and this is what he was going to do about it. But no, I did not think that Latte Larry's was going to do well. And to see Larry actually doing well for like, you know, 5 minutes was a bit jarring.
Yeah, you know, James, I did like that what we had was the fact that as much as Ted Danson has his issues with Larry, even he had to concede that it's a damn good cup of coffee. He wouldn't share it with Mocha Joe. Like, Mocha Joe's like, can I get your coffee? Is it from here? No. I don't know. I enjoyed Ted standing at the door like, hey, remember me? Cheers. Becker. Sad nobody remembers you from Becker. Yeah, that's why it's funny.
Yeah. I find kind of interesting. I mean, Ted Danson's not giving himself enough credit. The Good Place. If no one...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have said The Good Place. Everyone would have known.
Yeah, it was funnier to go with a more obscure and less memorable reference, right, James?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, of all of his roles, I did watch Becker myself. So I was like, yo, that's one that I know. I for one, and probably of like four other people who, you know, watched the entire series know of Becker. But it was a dope show. I thought it was pretty funny that he was trying to sling his, you know, his accomplishments to pull in the crowd to Mogo Joe, and it wasn't quite working.
Can I just say that that's like the perfect example to use? Like, there's huge Cheers fans and there's huge Good Place fans, but Becker was that show in the middle. It was like the New Adventures of Old Christine, you know, that weird one in the middle
that
everyone forgets about.
Becker was the show that was quietly on for 5 years so that it was able to be sold into syndication. And yet, like, no one watched. You didn't know anybody watched it until right now. James Maple's the first person I've ever met that watched it.
I knew it.
You know, it was on like 20 years ago. And now I've finally met my first Becker fan. Rachel, let's talk about Beep Panic. It's the title of the episode. It comes up a few times. Have you, Rachel, experienced Beep Panic?
Well, I can say that I have, and maybe not to that extreme, but funny story. Got a ticket one time for being stopped at a light and having my phone and, you know, on it. So yeah, I've experienced a lot of beep panics in my time.
Well, no wonder Abby Jacobson's not your friend, because you are a bad girl. Yeah, I've never thrown it like that, but I've definitely had that moment. I'm looking down, I'm trying to, you know, finish the text before the light changes, and the person behind honks, and I look in the rearview mirror and I just put my hands up. I'm like, yep, you got me. I'm the jerk. I should have been paying attention. Have you also experienced that, James, the actual beep panic?
You know, I have to be completely honest with all of you. I am the panicker, not the panicky. I find myself the one who's like, will you go? And the second the light turns green, and I have noticed that I have incited panic in someone else. So I have experienced that before, but from the other end, I'm the more aggressive driver. I have a stress ball in my car at all times for reasons like that. I just kind of, when I get mad.
I'm like, yeah.
Whatever works for me.
What about you, Flobo? I feel like if you're able to generate new content every week, you've got to be on your phone while you're driving sometimes.
That is true. I've been in California for about 12 years, and I've seen my role shift. Like, I used to be the aggressor, that I'm always the guy who has the pasture going, you know, you're being too aggressive with your beep panics. And then over time, I became that guy going, oh, crap, I was uploading this article to my website because it's new content every week.
Every week.
No time to drive.
Let's talk about another great theme of the episode. It's sort of in the background, but it is actually in the culmination, in the great finale of this actual episode. Flobo, your thoughts on Richard Lewis deciding to play the role of Charlie. Now, we won't use the language so much, but it's the idea that was introduced in Tropic Thunder, the idea that playing a mentally challenged character is sort of the pinnacle for any actor. What do you think about the way that they handled Richard Lewis playing Charlie?
It's definitely interesting, because I did watch the movie Charlie, and then I did read the short story flyers for Algernon. And even back then, I wondered who would be the kind of actor to take on that role. It does seem, maybe we are self-referential about it now, but it does seem kind of like, yeah, if you really want a chance for people to look at you, you have to be a victim, either from your mental environment or from like a physical kind of thing. So it's kind of funny playing it up for last, but it's a very true thing, at least I see in Hollywood.
Yeah, absolutely. James, what did you think? Not so much about, obviously Richard Lewis playing Charlie, but this idea that everyone in the episode thinks it's hysterical that he's doing it, you know, getting him to act out a scene from it. Larry saying, oh, I'm not going to miss a show.
You know, I was really shocked that he took on a role like that, because I think it's like such a massive responsibility. But to be more topical about it, I definitely think that, like, giving the physical parameters we've seen him go through this season, I think the role was a little fitting. It just really like it made those thoughts we've been talking about the past, I don't know, six episodes about him, like some type of deterioration in him, more real. So I definitely think that was like a, it was a bit of a stretch, but not that far, too far of a stretch for me.
Yeah, look, and I'm going to say his hair looked better than it had at any point this season. So
he got a compliment on it. Yeah, for sure.
Rachel Goodman, actress, I think is one of your handles out there on the internet. You're an actor, Rachel. What do you think about this idea about the importance of being able to convincingly play a mentally challenged person? I mean, Sean Penn did it in I Am Sam, you know, I mean, it you have your huge actors that take on these roles sometimes.
Yeah. So that's actually, I was going to bring up I Am Sam for exactly that reason. So Sean Penn, my thing as an actress, actor, is that if you are really getting, and this applies as a writer too, because that's my other, I act, I write, whether I'm acting or writing, the goal is to get into a character's head. And so with a story like Flowers for Algernon, which I have read, it's less about, it's more about being able to be a person who can use your vessel, your body, and transform into this other character. And so I think that it's a testament to an actor who is able to do this. Richard Lewis playing this role would not have it kind of seemed random to me, and it seemed like, okay, I always saw Charlie as being younger, not that that really matters, but Richard,
so I'm sorry, let me just interject, you saw Charlie being less than 150 years old?
Thing is that it's, you know, eventually he is, he's given a treatment plan that does enable him to, you know, basically understand certain things better. But the whole point is that I did not see someone like Richard Lewis playing this role ever. It just doesn't, even beyond his age, it just does not seem like something he would do. And I don't think that just because you're an actor, you necessarily should take on a role like this. It should just be, you really feel like, if you really feel like this is the right role for you and something that you want to do, then yeah. But otherwise, it isn't, I didn't like that Jeff had him doing this just to help his career. And it felt wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, look, you know, we mentioned Sean Penn. Let's not forget Leonardo DiCaprio and What's Eating Gilbert Grape. You know, yeah. I mean, look, I can see the idea that it is a path to awards and recognition, whereas Larry just could not have enjoyed it more. This will come up again, tied into another key plot point. But while we've got James Maple here, I think it's very important that we talk about the role of the server in this episode, Diane, who mentions... Sorry, I took so long. I have diarrhea. And before I ask your feedback on that, I am going to share the quick anecdote from many years ago. It was about 14 years ago. I was having a work lunch with some coworkers. We went to a fine, upstanding, a classy establishment. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's called Hooters. And the our waitress actually said to us, like, hey guys, sorry that you know, I wasn't more fun. And we're like, oh, she was fine. I'm sorry I wasn't more fun, my dad just died. And we're like, what? We came to Hooters for, you know, what it says on the building, not
conversations,
not for your bring down. So it took me back to that. But James, your thoughts on sharing her bathroom condition with the whole table?
Okay. All right. So now, as a server myself, I, you know, have obvious, you know, a very strong opinion about this. There's this moment that I often have with my tables, and I call it my, like, there moment, where, like, you're there with your tables. You can, like, you know, step outside of your server role and be a bit more, like, joking and, like, crack jokes or what have you. There is never a moment in time where you're there where you can tell your table you have diarrhea, ever, ever, ever. And I also feel like, when she said it, she was very, like, handsy about it. Like, she's, like, touching the table and, like, moving things around. I'm like, yo, that's the last thing you need to be doing right now, is touching people and it be a phrase of, like, the present. I have diarrhea. Not I had it, but I have it. It's ongoing. It's a gerund phrase. It's happening right now. So I thought that was very, very funny, but should never happen in real life. My two cents.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job of highlighting that, and especially the second time we see her and the air conditioning's not working and just the sweat pouring down and it's exaggerated, and then you get the drop right into Larry's soup. But I'll say in both of those instances, this is not my official curb correction corner, but it is a problem. They walk away without eating, but you also get the impression without paying.
Boom, that part.
So, you know, I mean, that's like, I don't know. So what, does she have to pay for all that food because she didn't stop them? Or I don't even know how that works.
No, you just lie to your manager and say something happened and they just comp it off. It's a simple thing.
All right. Well, there you go. Rachel, your friend, Abby Jacobson, whom you've never met, what did you think of her portrayal as Diane the waitress?
I mean, you know that everyone from my school, we all sweat like that. I'm just kidding. I wasn't surprised. No, I thought that her portrayal was pretty funny. I think that she's, you know, just as an actress watching her, she's very fun to watch. And I could tell she was having a lot of fun with this role too. But that being said, in terms of like, if I'm stepping away from the acting and I'm looking at the actual character, oh, like if someone tells me they have diarrhea and they're serving my food, if someone is sweating, if someone is coughing, and this is before the age of Corona, if people are coughing, sneezing, sweating, and if there's a hair, like I'm a very reasonable person. I worked customer service for 10 years of my life, so I am very understanding, but I also like my personal space and the idea sneezing in food or sweating in it, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm just gonna politely eat this.
Flobo, your thoughts on the whole thing? The basically Diane as a server. We'll go to the next level of Diane in a moment.
Yeah, sure. It's funny now because of what's going on outside that you look at everything with a jaundiced eye. You know, you're like, hey, she's doing that thing, and she's breaking some food handling rules. But I've been cynical enough and watched enough Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes. I mean, that happened. Two things I thought: one, she was pretending she had diarrhea to like do something with the food. She didn't. Or two, Larry's going to get her fired in some way because that's the thing he's been doing all season, right? Finding these like random collateral damage like characters. So as a server, I can't knock them. If someone told me they had diarrhea, I'm not eating the food. As someone who sweats incredibly, I would just ask for another portion the second time. But she wasn't doing anyone any favors.
No,
she was not. But then Flobo, in true Curb Your Enthusiasm fashion, he sees her waiting for the bus. He feels bad. He gives her a ride. He takes her to the BMW dealership. And then, of course, not only gives her a car, gives her a job.
See, again, I thought it's going to be like he's going to go home and hook up, which would be a whole different episode altogether. But yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, picking up Diane Rope because he has a little small nugget of being a human. And when he is that way, it blows up in his face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was definitely a bit of a surprise. James, is that where you thought it was going? You know, Larry, this would have been an unlikely one that starts with diarrhea, but, you know, it's Larry David. I wouldn't have been shocked.
You know, there was a moment where I think it was just after Larry picks up Diane and they're in the car, and they have this like banter about him opening up lots of Larry's and like offering the job. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because of the previous episodes we've seen, but we've seen like that dynamic before, and it only leads to Larry hooking up. So in my heart, as I was watching that scene, I really thought that this was going to end up with like him having another girlfriend, you know, after the last episode. But I was genuinely shocked when he offered her the car and then bought the other car over licorice at the BMW dealership. I thought that was like such a strange twist that I didn't see coming, but now looking back on it, I'm like, that's very Curb Your Enthusiasm fashion.
It reminded me of Becky and the situation with the house.
Yeah.
How he was like, well, no, I gave you the house, but it's my house. You can't just sell it. And they literally did exactly the same thing with Diane, where she's like, yep, I sold it. I'm sold the car. I'm going on vacation. sold my car. And
yeah.
I was not surprised. I felt very on point with the show, especially with mm-hmm. the season. And I mean, what is it to Larry? Like, just let it go. You can just go buy 5 more cars and he's good.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was great. The, you know, when they have the accident and her car is fine. And, you know, he's just like, okay, do you want me to drive you home? And she's like, how? Your car's ruined. He's like, what do you mean? You know, just that whole exchange was so very Larry mm-hmm. that I thought it was great. Rachel, I did want to sort of move this to the aforementioned licorice. The idea that he just keeps going to the BMW dealership for that. I mean, I do remember that, you know, a million years ago, there was a commercial for Saturn where they had like a little, you know, this guy kept going in to get checks on a road trip because he would go and just get the free donuts. So somewhere Larry filed that away and he's like, yeah, I just went for the licorice. What did you think about the licorice as a story point?
I was a little confused because my thought was, and confused in the sense of, it just seems so random that suddenly, oh, the licorice is going to cause diarrhea. But wait, did Diane eat the licorice? Like, is that what they were trying to say? But even though they obviously weren't trying to say that, but it felt like it would have been better if it was a constant thread of this licorice causing the diarrhea instead of it mm-hmm. just randomly coming out and now causing everyone diarrhea. The other thing is, it's just a random comment. Why go to a car dealership? There are so many other places that give you licorice for free.
He didn't know where to get that one, I guess, that specific kind. That, and I did think it was interesting. I guess if you eat one piece of the licorice, you're not going to have any stomach problems. It's when he and Leon, you know, have, I don't know, I think Leon said he had 8 pieces of licorice. That's when you have a problem. Because that was my first thought. I'm like, wait, so now this licorice induces diarrhea, which is really the theme of the episode, is diarrhea. So I don't know. I was a little surprised. Were you at all confused by this, James?
You know, my biggest confusion, to be honest with you, was the size of the licorice. I don't know about you guys. I'm from the days of Twizzler, which are like the size of a straw.
Yeah.
I have never seen licorice that is that thick before in my entire life. It looked like a gas station piece of beef jerky or something. And to have eaten like so many of them, like, I don't know, how do you find space in your belly for that much? That was so thick. It was like a candy, like an old school candy cane. That's crazy.
Yeah, Flobo, what did you think about the diameter, the circumference, the length of this licorice?
Well, Christian, I'm glad you asked, because James Maple is right. I really thought it was jerky. I really thought it was jerky. I also think Twizzlers are superior as well. I just took it as whatever that you think is pretty cool at form to swap it out, like Purelines or like Belgian chocolate, because I've done that mistake before where you buy like the Godiva box and 3 chocolates and you're like, I made some mistakes. I regret what I've done.
Yeah, no, it's fair. And by the way, it did not make me want licorice. But it's nice to see people representing the East Coast mentality that we were all talking about Twizzlers. There's no time for red vines on this show. Take your red vines, exactly. That, which, by the way, taste like candles, and just, you know, keep them. I don't need your red vines.
I'm sorry,
Rachel,
but I'm...
No offense, fellas, but as the only other married person here on the panel, I did need to get your thoughts on Jeff's excitement level about the airport drop-off. And just he couldn't contain it. And Susie's like, what are you so happy about? No, I'm not going. Tell me your thoughts about all that.
I was on Susie's side. If I'm being dropped off to go on a vacation and hubby Joe is grinning and laughing, going, ha, 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 she's going. I'm so excited. That trip, I don't care how cool it is. I'm staying out of spite. And I'm with me.
I like Rachel's finger too. She was like, I'm gonna have you know something. You are not going anywhere without me, honey.
That was her Wendy Williams extender.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, look, it's like, and they were right. You have, Larry says you have to contain your excitement at the airport drop-off. You be excited after you drop them off.
Yes.
I mean, look, you don't have to be married to know this, right, James? This is this is not the way to handle
this base level things. So if you do too much, there's a red flag. You're like, wait a second, why are you so excited? You're up to something.
You should have played it with tears. Susie, I don't want you to leave, but not so much that she might have actually stay.
Oh, come on, Rachel, really?
That's a fine line there.
Just to take a quick moment to bring the real world into it. Flobo, you flew this weekend. How many people were on your plane?
Flying from New York to LA both ways were about 45 people. But right. The flight from New York to Jacksonville, because they've canceled so many others, were full planes because it's like the only flight going either direction. But yeah, flying from New York to JFK was like 40 people.
Oh, there you go. Just curious. But you're home now, and that's the key. So
home now in quarantine.
I was gonna say, because we're all home now.
Yeah, man. I live across the street from a grocery store. I can literally see it from the corner. And it's true what they say, man. Stock up when you can.
I live right, so I'm in a condo and we live right next to a Whole Foods. And yeah, you're not going to be able to park even right now. And RIP toilet paper, RIP frozen pizzas. Oh, but you know what, though? You can get sushi, so I'm good.
I will say, too. As the resident vegan on the panel, all the vegan food still there.
a crisis, I tell you. Only vegan food like, around.
I'll starve before I eat that crap.
Yesterday I was in one of the three different Targets that I was in over the weekend, and when I walked in, everyone was walking around with a case of like a package of toilet paper. It was like a sketch, you know, it was like you would write that, like, oh, look, everybody's, and you could tell people didn't come in expecting to get it. And I was like, I already have like 48, but I bought some too. It was peer pressure. I was like, yeah, I don't know. And yeah, it's, I don't know. Look, it's crazy out there, but the people that work at the supermarkets have all been great. They'll tell you things like, yeah, if you want milk, it comes every other day. It comes at 11 o'clock, but you got to line up within the store over by the man. So, like, they kind of, I don't know, if you just talk to them, and look, we're at the point where people have at least been nice anywhere I've been. We've all seen the videos of people fighting. So,
can I offer a pro tip?
Yeah.
Depending on what party you live, you got to go to the ethnic stores. If you go to, like, the smaller, like, the Asian stores or British stores or what have you, I've got more stuff out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Well, I just wanted to invoke the very important advice from Jerry Springer. Be good to yourselves and each other.
That deserves a clap for us, for sure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about a unsung character in this episode, Mr. Takahashi. It was very funny that it's like you zip up that jacket or you're out for no golf for 2 weeks. I was like, man, it's Larry should know to wear a collared shirt, right, James?
He absolutely should. But, you know, we all know Larry at this point. He breaks the rules and breaks social norms like nobody's business and almost looks for this bad attention. So I wouldn't put it past him to be shirtless in the establishment next time. He's
shirtless?
Hey, he's got to pick up these ladies however he can. You know what I mean?
Buy the BMW. That's how you get paid women.
Yeah, touche.
Flobo, it's just the way that the conversation flows. There's no reason that I'm specifically asking you this. Leon talks about black licorice, burnt toast, and pumpernickel.
Love
the preface.
Are you on board with all that?
First of all, shout out to pumpernickel. It doesn't get nearly as much credit as it deserves. But I like my toast. I like my toast a little normal, and I don't really like black licorice. I think black licorice is like a separate category unto itself. You know?
I love.
Yeah, and he even says black jelly beans. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Who is the right one?
I think I just saw Rachel say she likes black licorice. Is that true, Rachel?
It is, especially because not to be TMI here, but if you ever get heartburn, ginger, black licorice, two things that help extremely.
Really? But it tastes disgusting, though.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will say when I was on jury duty last year, one of the jurors brought in salted black licorice from Sweden, I think. I think they're all the rage out there. We all shared some, and after a day, we were no longer friends. We all hated each other. We wanted to get out as quick as we wanted to.
Listen to somebody's humble brag. When I had jury duty,
it's not a humble brag.
By the way, just thinking about how we're not supposed to be, you know, congregating in groups larger than 10. Imagine getting a jury duty summons like next week.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, quarantine.
In LA anyway, and Pennsylvania. I know from my friend telling me about that.
Yeah. So let's see. So we do need to talk about the Mocha Joe's ingenious scheme to get Larry taken away by the FBI. Rachel, do you get screeners? Are you in one of the guilds, or?
I mean, I'm in all the guilds.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, all of them. But no, the few times I've gotten screeners, you have to be very, very, very careful with those. So I could believe talking to Larry, because it isn't even just like, okay, so obviously pirating is. Get in trouble for that, but with screeners especially, because no one else has seen the movies yet theoretically, I can see them taking it very seriously. The FBI showing up though, that seemed a bit much. I thought it would have maybe one of the guilds or someone else in charge calling it directly.
I did think it was funny, but I mean, it's like, hey, it's no joke, you know. I mean, we're fortunate enough. My wife's in the Writers Guild, so we get screeners, and you know, people want to borrow them, and I'm like, oh, no, they're not mine. You know, I'm not the one who would have to pay two. Well, I guess I am the one who would pay $250,000. So it's like, I don't know. So the moral of the story is, Lobo, that's why you can't have my screener, Green Book.
I thought we were friends.
I did like that they were all the movies from like two Oscars ago. You know, it was like Roma and Green Book. And I was like, when did they film this?
I don't know. How did it work for Mocha Joe? Do you go outside and go, screeners, take one now?
He had like a trench coat on and he opened his trench coat. Like, I got that new Avengers, buddy.
Well, tell me if you agree, though, that the timing of that was pretty good karmically for Larry, because it was right after, you know, the beep panic for the handicapped gentleman. And Larry did say, I may never walk normal again. No offense.
Right. I mean, yeah, you put it that way. That's a direct comeuppance. There were so many ways I thought this episode was going to collapse, whether or not it would be Diane showing up and having diarrhea there without a defecation area. That was my prediction going in.
Me too.
Him getting picked up by the FBI was a swerve. But yeah, I guess it is karma.
Go ahead.
I thought that Larry was going to have to use the bathroom and that he was going to have to bring his own.
I thought Larry or Leon or possibly Diane, except of course she didn't need to go in anymore. But I thought that, one of them was going to have to use it. And I did think it was very funny. You know, Mocha Joe was very funny as the FBI is taking him away. He's like, stop sending people to shit in my store. You know,
I thought that was funny.
Yeah. So there's the final moment where it all comes together in the episode before we get to our award-winning segment, Curb Correction Corner. The fact that Larry gives the diarrhea-inducing licorice to Susie, who doesn't like it, gives it to Richard. There is that moment where he could be like, oh, Richard, this is a problem. To be fair, Richard had already eaten it. But the glee with which Larry realized what was going to happen. Rachel, I'll ask you first. What did you think watching that unfold and Larry's enjoyment?
I thought it played out exactly the way I expected it to, considering Larry wasn't going to tell him. We know Larry. And then also Larry was very amused. I think Larry was more excited for the performance once he found out that Richard had actually eaten the licorice, instead of watching what Larry probably would have thought of as being a boring performance. And also, I mean, yeah, Poor Richard, though. But maybe I just feel like they're just gonna. I don't really feel that bad for Richard because I know that he's Richard. He's going to be fine, and this is not going to set him back. Next week he'll be back at it again. But yeah, I didn't really feel bad for him, but it was really funny watching.
While I agree with you, that line where Richard goes, "I think I'm a licorice addict," he said it so sad. I was like, "Oh, yeah. If you only knew well." It's a ticking time bomb.
You know, Flobo, when we get back into a world where people are comfortable getting on stage or people are going to see them, remind me, I want to send you a care package backstage before you do your set. It's gonna be something gourmet. I don't want to spoil what it is. I will be there to welcome you back to the stage, the world of performing, Flobo.
Me too. I'm not missing that performance.
Just hold the Bavarian giant tins of candy. It'll be great.
We'll get the whole Curb panel back together. All right. Well, before we run out of time, let's get to our Curb Correction Corner, our award-winning segment, as I mentioned here. Flobo, what's your Curb Correction Corner?
So as much as we saw Diane, and can I say that Abby looks delightful this episode? She did talk about having diarrhea, and she did drop the sweat in the soup and tried to defend doing that. If I'm Larry, why would I offer her a job in the food service industry? You're just asking for trouble.
That's fair. James, what was your Curb Correction Corner? And I did a bad job explaining that the Curb Correction Corner is the moment where, you know, there's a lot of moments where we agree with Larry, but this is the one where we disagreed with him, the most strong disagreement we've had in the course of the episode. What was yours, James?
You know, mine is not with Larry in particular, but it's a strong disagreement with Diane. As I said, as a server on the panel, ain't no way you are telling your table you have diarrhea. No way. And then, like, to piggyback on Flobo, I feel like she almost tried to make Larry feel bad that he wasn't more apologetic about her dropping sweat in his suit. He's like, you should just let it go. Just let it go. I'm like, nah, girl, we ain't letting that go. So okay, that's my Curb Correction Corner for the week.
Rachel, what was yours?
Okay, so I'm okay with Larry giving Diane the car because he's Larry David and he can. But when Diane hit his car and Larry started saying, "Oh, well, I'll drive you home in my car," and basically just taking back the car he gave Diane, I'm getting kind of fed up with him giving people things and then expecting it back. So that's my correction corner.
Yeah, and I as was mentioned earlier in the episode, I love the callback. It's basically the same, you know, with the house for Becky. And for mine, it's, you know, just obviously he didn't give Richard the licorice and he'd already eaten it. But just the no warning and the I can't wait to sit back and watch this. The glee with which he had it, it was, of course, not at all surprising, but I thought, Larry, you've gone too far this time. anyway, that wraps up episode 9. Ladies and gentlemen, we have one more episode of season 10 of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and we will be back next Monday at 3 Pacific. That's 6 Eastern time. So you can look for us then. But until then, how do we keep in touch with the rest of our panel, Rachel Goodman?
You can find me at Rach Goodman on Twitter or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Bradner Author. I'm also on the Outlander retroanatomy of a movie, which is on hiatus for the next couple weeks, as well as Stumptown, sometimes on the Star Trek Picard after show. And I actually think that that's it right now.
Oh, look at that. You had like 4 or 5 shows. And yeah, we're pushing pause on the retroanatomy of a movie while we're doing the setup, but we'll get back to it. James Maple, where do people find you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Terrell James Maple, on Twitter at James Maple Actor, and also do some work for Masked Singer Fan Theories for AfterBuzz as well. Stop on by that Instagram page for some Masked Singer Theories for all you guys.
Hey, I know that we're almost out of time, but is it true that with the Masked Singer, when they take the mask off, they actually don't film that in front of the studio audience. Have you heard that theory?
I have not heard that, but I will definitely look that up and have a
because they do that to prevent the spoilers. And I'm like, I felt like we would have heard that Sarah Palin was under there if anybody.
Yeah, the audience. I may agree with you on that because I feel like that was a huge surprise. That
Keep an eye out for that. And Flobo Boys, I know these are trying times, but I hope that you are still able to generate new content every week.
I'm so much more hours at home and not outside performing that I have content. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Flobo Boys, on Instagram at Flopito. Please buy a t-shirt during these times at flopito.threadless.com. And the website is flopito.com. New content every week.
Yeah, I'm hearing rumblings that the Mets season is going to start on July 1st. So we've got a long time to wait. But if you want to keep in touch with me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And if you don't want a break from the news of the world and the political world, well, you can find me on the Trump Report Wednesdays at 4 Pacific for the time being. And over on Popcorn Talk, Marvel movie news Thursdays at our temporary time of 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Anyway, on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. That is all the time we have now, but we will see you next week where we will, of course, once again, wish you a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or...